Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Good morning. Good morning. It is the drive with Tay and Piper Lante. Kyle Tosk, no pipes this week. He is off and running, covering AAU. What is it, the Peach Jam?
Peach Jam.
That always sounds like that's pretty cool to cover. So he is going to be out this week. So Kyle and I have got you covered. We apologize. We weren't on Friday. That was my fault. I was out of state. I literally left. I left Central Illinois at 5:15 a.m. on Thursday, and all hell broke loose. All hell broke loose.
I also was not here, so I missed it, but it did sound
It has not been good. Bad. And, of course, for my other job being in insurance, it has been an interesting few days of turning in a lot of claims, right. Of course. And, it's tough, you know, when something like that rolls through. But it was kind of interesting. I got all the way to Columbia, Missouri, and I get a text from a friend of mine that's an agent. And he's like, man, being an agent sure does stink sometimes. And it was different words. And I'm like, I sent a thing back and I'm like, question mark. Because I hadn't heard anything. I mean, I didn't know it was coming. I, you know, on the way to Columbia, Missouri, I wasn't monitoring weather in Central Illinois. And he sends me a picture of hail in Tuscola and then the winds and what the winds were doing. And actually, I think that was before the winds, actually. And then the winds came and I finally just got a hold of Betsy at the office. I'm like, what in the... You know what's going on back there? And she's like, yeah, it's not good. You need to come back now. But I didn't. So she had it. She was kidding, of course. She had it covered. So, yeah. So everybody out there that's had damage, I hate that for you. Obviously, something we can't control, but it certainly ripped through our area. And I know, I think they call it a, Diane, I know you tried to say it the other day, what they call that storm. Derecho, I think, is how they say it. Yeah, so I've heard derecho and derecho, but I know they had this in Iowa a couple of years ago, and then boom, what do you know? Illinois in this area gets it as well this time. So I'm hoping that, and from what I've heard, it sounds like everybody is safe and sound through it, just some damage, especially to a lot of trees. So, all right, you were in Utah.
That's wrong. I was in Lake Tahoe. Both California and Nevada because it kind of borders both. So.
That's right. I've been to a wedding there. So I'm sorry. I had you in Utah.
I was in Utah last summer.
That was last summer. Okay.
And that was a great trip, but this one was also beautiful.
I bet. It is. I didn't get a chance to look at it like you did in terms of spending the days and the hours out there. But do you guys camp and stuff or what all do you do? It was your family, right?
It was my family. We don't camp, but we did do a lot of activities. My mom had some stuff planned for most of the days there. We went kayaking out there on the lake. We got out on a boat. My dad and I did get a round of golf in on this pretty cool course.
Sweet.
The scenery was much more beautiful than my score was, but it's all right.
That's all right.
still had a good time. But yeah, we were pretty busy. It was a great area, though. First time there for all of us. So
that's cool.
Awesome.
That's cool. And in Utah, are you guys just trying to kind of hit the West Coast, or is this just... It just happens that you've been to the West Coast twice.
It just kind of happened. It's just two spots that I know my mom and dad really wanted to get to.
Oh, beautiful.
And, yeah, they're just so beautiful. We just happened to do them in back-to-back summers. But, yeah, they've been phenomenal trips.
Very cool. I say that it's beautiful. I've never been to Utah. So
I recommend getting there at some point.
I bet. I bet. I know that Lucas has mentioned that as well from being out west, you know, for a few years at Arizona State. And we've got to get the young man on from Utah that's coming to play football at Illinois.
Right.
We've got to get him on. In fact, I'm going to give that job to you in the next, because we're going to make Kyle more of a producer going forward. So I think that would be a great get to talk to him, because I think that would be cool. He's only the second player ever from the state of Utah that's going to come and play at Illinois. And then, of course, the Illini get the offensive lineman from Nebraska. He will only be the second player ever to play at Illinois from the state of Nebraska, which I get Utah. I mean, that's kind of out there, right? And but I would think Nebraska somehow you would have had other athletes to play football from Nebraska, but obviously Nebraska is a
Nebraska owns that state.
Yes,
in recruiting.
They do.
You even look at the list of like the top 10 prospects in Nebraska, and Illinois got I think the fifth best prospect, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 6, 7, 8, 9 are all
right?
Nebraska.
Wow,
all committed to Nebraska.
And
so
I would
they
assume
really do own that state.
I would assume if not Nebraska, they're going to Iowa, or doing something like that, because obviously Iowa and Nebraska are big rivals. So that's interesting, though. I didn't realize that Illinois did that. And I wonder, Kyle, I wonder if we realize how big that is. You know, that's one of those where, hey, by the way, Illinois picked up a 3-star offensive lineman from Nebraska. And I think too often we get caught up in the stars. I mean, obviously they mean something. Normally 5-star guys hit, right? I mean, it's automatic. And a lot of times 4-star guys are the ones that really elevate your program as well. 3-stars are sometimes some that you kind of look at and say, all right, we can develop these guys, or they're going to fit exactly what we need. Maybe they wouldn't fit another school, but you look at that, and I think so. Sometimes it's too easy just to say, oh, well, we got another lineman that's a 3-star, and you just kind of move on. But it's like, hold on a second. You went into Nebraska, which I know Nebraska's been not the best in terms of football in the last 5 to 10 years. I understand they haven't been kind of the Nebraska of lore. But still, you're going into the state of Nebraska where these kids are born and raised Huskers, and you're able to grab a kid. I wonder if we don't look at that and give that even more, what's the word? I guess not credibility, but even more like of a positive spin, because I think that's pretty impressive that Coach Bielma and these guys have done that.
Yeah, it is. And Coach Bielma's made a pattern of this across some other areas and with some other prospects where in years past, a lot of these prospects, maybe Illinois is their only high major offer.
Exactly.
Maybe you're not really beating out any heavy hitters here for some of these prospects. But now you go into Nebraska, you beat Nebraska for an offensive lineman. You've beat Iowa for a couple of these guys. You beat Oklahoma for the Utah
That's
linebacker
right.
that you just referenced. I mean, these are big-time programs in college football, and Brett Bielema and the staff is going in and beating them head-to-head for some of these recruits, and that's something that we haven't seen in a while. So that's really been impressive. And, yeah, this is a big win, Caleb Pyfrom from Nebraska here to go in there and beat the Huskers for the fifth best prospect in the state of Nebraska.
I think it also shows you and tells you, not that Bart Miller's not doing big things, don't get me wrong, but it also, I think, tells you how much respect offensive linemen especially have for Brett Bielema.
Oh, yeah.
And what he was able to kind of forge there at the University of Wisconsin. Obviously, he made that into running back you, and it's kind of going against him right now with Dupree, right? Because
right.
I just read something today, I believe, in Illini Inquirer that Dupree was basically saying good stuff about each of the schools that were recruiting him. And when he got to Wisconsin, he's like, well, running back you, right? And it's like, well, Brett Bielema kind of helped establish that. And so now it's kind of working against him. But certainly, that's what happens. But certainly, Brett Bielema, who was an offensive, you know, he's kind of an offensive lineman guy. And for him to really show or really have the respect that he has from recruits, coaches elsewhere that say, look, if you go play for Brett, he's going to do his thing to get you where you need to be to get into the next level in terms of football. And I think, Kyle, you're going to be, a sophomore. I think in your time at the University of Illinois, I don't know that you'll ever see a bad offensive line.
Oh, I don't think I will.
I mean, because you came in with a really good one. Actually, the year before you got here was a really good one. And then last season, obviously, was a good one. I think the holdovers this year with Cy and Isaiah and also the young man from
Julian Purdom.
Julian. He's I always forget his name, and he's the most local guy there. I'm sorry, Julian. But with the holdovers of those guys, obviously, I think that that leads to three-fifths of a really good line that I think they're going to patchwork fine into being a solid line. And then now you've got you've started working on depth 3 years ago to where you're going to have offensive line play here for the next few years that I think in your time, especially at Illinois, I think you're going to be covered.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that front.
It is funny, too, to think about. You remember those comments that Bielema made in his first year that he got blown up over where he said, well, we just don't have the – it was something along the lines of we just don't have enough offensive linemen. We don't have the depth. And people were criticizing him for saying, well, are you throwing these guys under the bus or what are you saying here?
He wasn't
wrong about that, but now he's already rebuilt that depth in two, 3 years here. And you're right, getting those – seniors back is going to kind of bridge that year because you do need those younger guys to develop a little bit. But if there's one thing I trust Brett Bielema to do, it's to pick out offensive linemen to recruit talent there. He has an eye for talent.
Big time.
And has proven that. And I think you're absolutely right. I have a ton of trust that there's not going to be a bad offensive line here at Illinois under Brett Bielema.
Now, Kyle, this will probably shock you, but not only did I not play college sports, I didn't play college football. Is that blowing your mind right now? So it's always funny to me, though. Like, I would get anxiety as a football recruit or when I'm on a football team. And let me explain. You look at the quarterback room this year, right? You've got a kid like Donovan Leary who came to Illinois, had a pretty good first year. He's made big inroads. I mean, he was getting some first-team snaps, you know, during spring, et cetera, during some of that. And you look at him, and it's like, oh, but wait, they just recruited a transfer in that has 3 years of eligibility, which is essentially the rest of the time I'm here. And then, oh, by the way, they've got another kid coming that's coming in this year in Kyle Swanson, and they've got another kid from Mississippi that's supposedly a big stud coming in now next year. And so you look at that, and you look at that room, and you think to yourself, like, if I'm a recruit, I'm like, well, hold on a second. Because in basketball, you know, it might be that you are one of two shooting guards, or you are one of two power forwards, or two big men, or two point guards. And it's like, okay, basically I got to beat Kyle out for me to be the starting point guard on this basketball team. I don't have to beat six other guys out. And I think I would get anxiety if I was a football recruit. And you look at the offensive line. I mean, you talk about this depth that they've now developed and are developing. But you've got like up to 15 guys that are legit Power 5 guys. And certainly some maybe not right away Power 5 guys, but you think by the time they spend a year or two at Illinois, they're ready to go. And I understand the perfect way around this is that these five start this year, two or three come back, but you've got two or three replacements ready to go, and then those five go that year, and then you got a couple more replacements ready in the wings. So I understand how it all works, but I think I would have anxiety about that, thinking, okay, wait, I got to beat out 14 other guys to play on this offensive line. But that's how you have to put your team together and develop your team if you're a good college football program.
Yeah, and the transfer portal has now added another element to that where it's definitely more the case in basketball with Brad Underwood where you're, okay, we're going to recruit this transfer, but who is that going to make upset now? Who are we recruiting over that we might lose now? And I think the other thing, too, that's been impressive at least through 2 years of Brett Bielema's tenure here is that he really has had very little transfers out of the program
other than
guys that have been buried fourth, fifth on the depth chart. I don't know if that's necessarily going to continue, but it's just another element now to if you are going to recruit over certain guys and if you're stacking too many guys for one guy to beat, like you said, on the depth chart, now is that guy going to leave? And I keep coming back to God. I would not want to be a head coach at in either football or basketball right now and have to navigate all this stuff.
Have to try to figure it out. Well, football is how long away?
It is like, what, a month and a half? Or 2 months?
It's unbelievable.
I guess it's July 5th now and the opener September 2nd, so about 2 months.
I noticed Jeremy Werner on Illini Inquirer, they already have their quarterback primer out. And they start with the quarterback primer, so I jumped on that this morning, and I was getting on there to read a different story, and then I see quarterback primer, and I'm like, well, Must be college football time.
Yep.
Here go the breakdowns on all of this. And, of course, Brett Bielema and this staff have done a pretty good job with this recruiting class. I think right now it ranks 41st, according to some. You know, I don't – there's different rankings. I don't take that too serious, but unless they're like 80th, then I start to worry about that. But
40th, according to 24/7
okay.
right now.
And that's like 11th in the Big Ten out of 16?
Yes.
That's the other thing. Now we got to remember there's 16 teams. Because at first you're like 11th, but now you got two more teams coming in. So, and then of course there's a they do not have a 4-star, so that is one thing they don't have. They missed out on Marquise Lightfoot, who ended up staying at Miami and doing that. Who was the other? There was one other one that they missed out. I think it was the cornerback, right? That ended up going to. Now it's gonna slip my mind. It happened over the weekend.
I know who you're talking about too.
Kelly or something like that. But it doesn't matter. But anyway, Florida State? No. Anyway, so they've missed out a couple. Now there's a couple 4-star running backs that they're trying to nail down. Speaking of Utah, ironically, a couple crystal ball picks for Utah on him because he's out west. And then of course Dupree, the who would be the stud of this class, who's more of a kind of a quick twitch running back that would fill perfectly in that room. You have Aiden Loughry, of course, the local product that is more of your quick. Other than that, you've got a lot of brawn, right? You got some big boys in that room, and you need a little more quickness, whereas Dupree would be perfect. But it does sound like you're in a dogfight right now with Wisconsin. I know he went to Missouri, and I think University of Washington kind of looked in on him as well late, but it sounds like it's a Wisconsin-Illinois battle, and I think he's going to make that decision on Friday, July 7th. So we're going to find out this week whether or not you've got Dupree. I don't see that one going Illinois' way.
Yeah, it doesn't sound particularly good on that front.
Those are the ones that I know that this happens, and I know that Illinois has a couple of, like the Okla kid, you know, he's a Wisconsin guy, and I understand that this happens, like people go across state lines, and but it's still, I always take it personal. And down the road, if Dupree does go to Wisconsin and then we beat him, I'm just going to – it just makes it a little extra special. You know, like, right. Well, you could have been on that win, you know, but now you're suffering a loss. So,
well, then the other side of it too now is don't burn all those bridges because he's from Chicago. If Illinois finishes second in this recruitment and Wisconsin brings in a transfer running back and all of a sudden he's number three on the depth chart, guess who's going to come calling? Brett Bielema. Hey,
great point.
We'll take you – for your final 3 years or your final 2 years of eligibility.
I keep saying they're going to get that kid from West Frankfort or Johnston City, excuse me, to come back. Safety Brown or
Austin
whatever.
Brown, yeah.
I keep saying, don't worry, he'll be in an Illini uniform before it's said and done. I don't know that that's the case. That's me wishful thinking. But you're right.
There will be some, though, like that.
Anymore, that is definitely – I don't think coaches ever necessarily burnt bridges, right? Burned bridges in the past. I don't know that they ever would have done that, but certainly now, and that's kind of what Washington's doing in this. The University of Washington, they're basically getting their foot in the door for Dupree to say, hey, we know we're late to the party. We know we're probably not going to get you, but hey, take a look at our program, and maybe down the road, if something changes, you know, just know that we're in it from the beginning, you know, from the beginning to try to get you. So I can understand how stuff like that is used, and certainly you want to keep those connections, especially for guys from around your state and from around your area. Because, you know, I mean, we can look at it the other way. The young man that's coming, and I wish I could remember his name from Utah. The young man that's coming from Utah to Illinois, I'm sure in the back of his mind, if you know, even
Easton
though
Baker.
Easton Baker, that's right. It's a cool name. In the back of his mind, I know, you know, he said all the right things in terms of he and his family. They want, you know, he wants to play in the Big Ten. He loves the ruggedness of the Big Ten. It's what he's always dreamed of doing is playing football in this conference. But I'm sure in the back of their mind, it's like, well, if things don't go perfect, I wouldn't mind settling closer to home. And that's where maybe, you know, a Utah or someone like that could come into play to get a young man like him. But that kid looks like a beast.
Yeah.
He absolutely looks like a beast. I think Andy Boo, number one, since the minute he's gotten here. I mean, look, George McDonald has done a great job. Terrence Jameson did a great job. I mean, there's a lot of these guys that have done a wonderful job. Who's the coach that went that brought in Isaiah Williams, and now is it Patterson?
Corey Patterson.
Corey, yeah. I mean, he did a great job when he was here. But Andy Boo has been a guy that it seems like whenever he gets his hands on someone, they come to Illinois. Like, there's not many that he gets you in on, and then they kind of decide to go elsewhere. I don't know what he does, but Andy Boo is an amazing recruiter, and this is a guy that I think is going to have a really fun linebacker room for a lot of years here at Illinois. So hopefully that'll be the case, and hopefully we have Coach Boo for a while on this Illinois team. It is amazing that football's coming up, man. And that first month will not be easy.
No, it will not. It's gonna be one of the more interesting Septembers that I can remember. A, because the program's in a position where you actually have expectations.
Right.
But B, I mean, all four of those games, honestly, well, take Florida Atlantic out, but all the first three games are interesting. I know you should beat Toledo at home. Right. That shouldn't be a problem. But that was the MAC champion last year. That's a team that if you fall asleep and take them lightly, all of a sudden you could be staring down a week one upset, which would
not lasagna.
Start your season off right. And then you got that Kansas game, which I just don't know what to think of.
That's like the Nebraska game for me every year, right? You brought that up to me before you left on your vacation, your 18-week vacation, by the way. And then he let me know that he's probably going to be gone next week. I'm like, oh, wow, you're already settling into the Lante role very well. I'm impressed with you. I feel like I've mentored you well. Like, you're taking
I'm just
2 week vacations. Like, hey, I'm going to be back for 3 days and then I'm out again for two. It's like, oh, okay, well, just let us know when you can be here. That'd be great. No, I kid. You know I do.
I had a nice streak there before I left, though.
What was the injury that got you? Are you making up an injury that got you? Because Pipes keeps calling you 162.
It's that pesky the oblique or whatever that always knocks people out for like 2 months.
I know what it is. It's the Wainwright injury.
Ah, yeah.
It's really not
the injury,
an injury that needed to be an injury three starts ago.
Marmol used some word there that I'm like, oh, this is great. He said like he's been dealing with some complications.
Shoulder
or something.
Complications.
Like, oh, okay.
After his last start, I hate even saying this. In fact, let's take a break. I want to talk some Cardinals, and I had you – we're actually going to hear from Waino from yesterday. Cardinals lose 15-2. Waino was not good again. This is now the second or third start in a row that he has not given his team a chance to win a game, and I know nobody hates it worse than him, and obviously he is one that will go down as one of the favorites ever to ever put on a Cardinals uniform. But certainly it's hard to watch. It's really hard to watch, and – I know we've got some clips from Waino, and we also have a little segment from, I can't remember, is it called, what's the name of the
podcast? Foul Territory.
Foul Territory. A.J. Pierzynski's on that. So they interviewed Ken Rosenthal, and not just about Wainwright, but about the Cardinals in general. This was about 3 or 4 days ago, and what should they do at the deadline? Should they become traders? Should they sell, et cetera? We'll hear a little bit of that from Ken Rosenthal as well. I thought it was interesting to listen to, and I thought maybe some of our listeners, if they haven't heard it, would like to hear that. But I do want to talk a little bit about Waino and the Cardinals. And have the Cubs been winning? I literally checked. I was down in Columbia, Missouri, so I was in Cardinals and Royals territory. So I was kind of keeping track of the Cardinals, but kind of not. You know?
Yeah, I was kind of doing the same on my vacation, and I wasn't missing much because the Cubs won that first game in London.
That's right.
While we were on vacation, and then they didn't win again for like a week.
Is that right?
Then they beat the Guardians 1 out of 3 games. They lost. They blew a 6-0 lead on Monday to the Brewers.
You're kidding me.
Nearly blew a 6-2 lead to the Brewers yesterday, and then Ian Happ saved the day in extra innings by throwing two guys out at the plate.
My goodness.
They're not doing too well themselves.
I want, before the end of the show, and maybe we'll push, why don't we, let's keep talking Illinois football next segment.
Let's do it.
Let's talk some baseball next hour. We'll hear from Adam Wainwright and what's happening with him. He is going on the IL, of course, and that is, I'm sure, quote-unquote, an actual injury. But I think that's more – like I had mentioned to some of my buddies, I'm like, it's time for Waino to hit the 60-day IL and come back in September, make a couple of nice starts, get the standing ovation that he totally deserves. Don't get me wrong. But you know, let's don't play this out the entire season of him being like this, because nobody wants to see that, including Adam Wainwright. And so, you know, hit that IL, make sure you come back when basically the Cardinals aren't even going to be in it at that time, but you have a couple of cool little things at Busch Stadium for him. Hell, let him sing the national anthem again. I don't know. And then
that was impressive when he did
that. He did do a good job. But it's definitely time. It's definitely time for Waino. I mean, and so we can talk about that next hour. The thing I want to bring up that I know I'm going to forget, doesn't it feel when he pitches now, it feels like he's a glorified position player coming in at the end of a 12-0 blowout. I mean, he's throwing like 78 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I think he threw some curves at 71 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I hit 70 once.
I mean, I don't watch his starts except for I did watch that start in London that he made, and yeah, some of those pitches just when you're leaving a pitch 84 right down the pipe,
right.
And Ian Happ sitting at 400 feet,
yeah.
And the curveball, which is the pitch that he's made a career off of, it just
flat.
It's flat, and
he actually threw some
pretty
good
uncompetitive
curves yesterday, but the fastball, as he will get into, the fastball was non-existent. So. We'll talk a little of that, talk a little Cubbies. We'll hear from Ken Rosenthal on what the Cardinals should do and roll from there. But when we come back, let's talk a little bit more Illinois football. I did attend the campus of an enemy.
Ooh.
And I got a chance to stroll around the University of Missouri. So I'll give you my thoughts on that. Getting ready to go to Kansas City.
Did you come back with some playbooks Illinois playing them. They got that series starting with them in a few years.
I was talking to a Missouri fan. Neither one of us could remember when that started.
Yeah, let me effort that during the break.
Okay, we'll do that. I did ask the Missouri fan. I said, there's nothing more I'd rather do than have a drink with Drinkowitz, their coach. But I never did run into Eli Drinkowitz or whatever his name is, the Missouri coach. So. But, yeah, the Missouri fan did mention to me that they dominated the most recent football series. And I'm like, yeah, to the point where we, like, backed out. Like, we're like, no moss. Like, we threw in the towel. We're like, we can't beat you. We're done trying to play you in St. Louis. We won out of this thing. It was an embarrassment for Illinois football. But I think Illinois football, I know, is in a much better spot now to be able to go toe-to-toe with Missouri. But I found that interesting to kind of walk around that campus. I'll give you my thoughts on that. And we can also look a little bit more and talk a little bit more about that Kansas game, because I think that is, to me, and I'm not that I'm throwing out that we'll easily beat Toledo and we should easily beat Florida Atlantic. And I understand the Penn State game at home is just as important, but I think that game at Kansas could really make a difference in terms of bowl game or not, and kind of the, to me, the early flare or the early look of saying, this is what this team's going to be this year. That's going to be the kind of the way I look at it. So, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk that. If you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255. That's, again, 359-2255. That is the Tapman's Towing phone line. We're going to talk with Tyler Underwood, I believe, tomorrow on that. He is now a new assistant coach. He and Zach Hamer have been elevated to assistant coaches. I know a lot of the programs were now able to add a couple of other assistants. And the difference is, while as they have been on the staff, they are actually now able to coach, like on-court coaching, et cetera, whereas in the past they could not do that during games and such. So now Tyler Underwood, Zach Hamer, both now kind of full-time assistant coaches at Illinois, which is exciting for both of them. Of course, we've visited with both of them, but I'd like to get Tyler on hopefully tomorrow and kind of ask him what he thinks of this. I know he said he's traveling all day today, so he's probably traveling with Piper.
He probably is.
Going down to the Peach Jam to watch a little basketball. So we'll do that, and of course, the U of I Atlanta Link text line, 359-2255. That's how you get us there. Back to talk some more Illini football. Weigh in if you want. It is The Drive.
What kind of bedside manner would you like your doctor to have? At Roof Doctors, they make sure you feel good about what they can do for you. They make sure they answer all of your questions and feel comfortable about whatever procedure your roof needs. Roof Doctors has helped customers for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy have helped make lives better in our community with their generosity and kindness. Roof Doctors is a company you can trust if you need anything done on your roof. Roof Doctors in Urbana, they make you their number one priority.
Prescott International in Urbana is a legacy founded in 1958 by aviation pioneer Rudy Frasca with a mission of improving safety in the skies. Nebraska is hiring fabricators, technicians, managers, and engineers. The perfect fit will enjoy full-time benefits as well as an equal opportunity employer. You can learn more about the application process at fraska.com/careers or call 217-344-9200.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
As our nation celebrates its 247th birthday this July, Gale Frerichs Trucking is extending a firecracker of a deal to professional Class A CDL drivers interested in joining our team. In addition to our standard offering of great percentage pay, paid holidays and vacations, pre-planned dispatches, benefits, home time every weekend, and $1,200 per week gross pay guarantee, drivers that join us in the month of July will receive an additional $247 per week for the first 16 weeks with us. Take the family out to dinner when you're home every weekend, or use it as a Christmas fund. It doesn't matter to us. This is America, and you have the freedom to do with it what you want. If you have a Class A CDL and would like to explore our regional van and flatbed opportunities and work for a company that works as hard for you as you do for them, call Tim at 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
Pepsi-Cola Champaign-Urbana Bottling is getting summer started with some fresh new products. Take a break from the sun and get a taste of cool, crisp, refreshing, starry lemon-lime flavored soda. Stay hydrated with Gatorade's new Fast Twitch Energy Drink and get your daily source of vitamin A and C with Gatorade Fit. Find your afternoon pick-me-up with Starbucks Caramel and White Chocolate Mocha Frappuccino Mini Cans. Order these delicious beverages and everything else with Pepsi-Cola Champaign-Urbana Bottling Company. Visit PepsiColaCU.com.
The Georgetown Fair is the place to be in 2023 on new dates, July 8th through the 15th, with country days, grandstand nights, carnival lights, and live entertainment. There is something for all ages. Don't miss 4-H exhibits, livestock shows, carnival specials, amazing fair food, and so much more. The grandstand lineup is packed full with demo derby, tractor pulls, buckets and boards comedy percussion show, rodeo, and grand finale Saturday, July 15th with Rodney Atkins live in concert with Drew Baldridge. Tickets on sale now. Get full event details at georgetownfair.org.
Looking for a fun, family-friendly event in support of a great cause? Join us at the Habitat Restore on Saturday, July 22nd from 9 a.m. to 12 for the Bike to Build Bike Rodeo, sponsored by Tenant Wealth Partners and Habitat's Women Build program. Learn bike skills, decorate your bike, learn about bike maintenance, enjoy an Icy from Ice Daddy, and more, all while enjoying music from DJ Silky. And while you're there, don't forget to shop the Restore. This event is fun for the whole family and supports Habitat's local home building program. For more information about the Bike to Build Rodeo, please visit cuhabitat.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Lindy's busting me, man. He's like the producer. He's like, you were going to break 10 minutes ago. No hard breaks. No hard breaks here. Especially during the summer when you just got to keep rambling, which is my gift. The gift of gab. I've got it. What do you got?
I would like to give this quick update from earlier today.
Oh.
Down at Peach Jam. I don't know if Piper's made it down there yet, but Merez Johnson earlier today in a Mean Streets victory, 26 points, 19 rebounds.
Whoo! You want to text Pipes, see if he's there? Maybe he saw that. If he did, we'll have him jump on next hour and talk a little bit about Merez Johnson dominating. Doesn't it feel like Merez Johnson is, you know, he's one of those that signed early and you've kind of had him all, although there was always the fear like, oh, you know, or, I mean, he verbaled early, not signed. And then, boy, he's really starting to blow up on these. I know he's the last tournament he was at. He had a lot of accolades from that tournament about what he was doing and how he was dominating around the rim, not missing shots, doing what he can do around the rim. So that'll be interesting. Well, we'll check with Pipes and check and see. I want to let you know that this segment is brought to you by Game Day Spirit. You know the drill, GameDaySpirit.com. If you're ever just bored at work or you're just at home and everybody's on their phone these days, why don't you take a tour through GameDaySpirit.com and see what you can add to your Illini attire, because they've got everything you want, everything you need. It is awesome. They got every color you need in terms of Illinois colors, and they've got a lot of cool gadgets. So GameDaySpirit.com, and of course, if you're like me and you'd rather go to the store to look yourself, there is locations on Neal and Green. So that's where you find GameDay Spirit, a proud partner of The Drive. With Tay and Piper, we are excited of having GameDay Spirit along for the ride. They've been a wonderful friend and neighbor for many years for us here on this radio station. All right, so one of the questions that arose last week that Piper and I kept trying to get to, but of course, probably me kept avoiding, not on purpose, but just bringing something else up, is someone had asked on the U of I Atlantic text line if you could go to one game this season away, one Illinois football game away, which would you choose? Now, there's some interesting options. The Kansas game, now I'm not going to sell you that that is a better probably game to go watch than Iowa, let's say, at Kinnick Stadium, which I feel like is, to me, is my favorite, other than Memorial Stadium, is my favorite stadium in the Big Ten to watch a game. But you've got Purdue, and you have the little tasty, the tastiness of knowing Ryan Walters was your D coordinator last year. He just picked up a big recruit you were trying to get. You're going to be recruiting against him for many years and battling against Purdue, which is now one of the, what do they call that?
The protected rivals.
So you've got Purdue. You also have Iowa, as mentioned. You got Kansas. You got Minnesota. Just from recollection here, I'm going. And then, of course, Maryland, which I'm not going out to Maryland. So I guess I'll put it to you, Kyle, knowing that Kansas could be that big, that kind of that big, like I've said, Nebraska in the past game, where it could really make a difference on which way the season turns. Knowing that there's that, would you rather still go to Purdue to watch Ryan Walters and Brett in the first clash ever, or would you still rather go to Iowa?
I think I would most want to go to Purdue this year.
Okay.
I just think Kansas, I get that's a big game. It is on a Friday, which is a little...
Yeah, kind of
dampens. I don't love that as much. And then it's just Kansas football. Like, I just... I don't know. That's just... They got to prove it a little more than their 6-7 year last year.
I guess
you could say the same about Illinois, too.
Yeah.
But I just... I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of juice in that Illinois-Purdue rivalry over these next couple of years, especially. I also think that's going to be a huge game in this Illinois season, especially if things go your way. You beat Toledo, you beat Florida Atlantic. Let's say you beat Kansas, you're 3-1. Maybe you could knock Penn State off 3-1 or 4-0 if things go right there heading into that Purdue game. And I don't know what Purdue's early season schedule looks like, but could be a really pivotal game for both teams. I know Purdue's had a really great environment there in West Lafayette the past couple of years that you could kind of feel on TV in some of their games. And so I think it'd be fun to be at that Illinois-Purdue game, especially if Illinois can go in there and knock them off in,
yes,
in their first battle with Ryan Walters.
I feel like Purdue's so easy to get to. It's
yeah.
ridiculously easy to get over to West Lafayette. It takes you no time whatsoever. You're there before you know it, and you realize, why haven't I been to more games at Purdue? I feel like the Purdue-Illinois football game, as long as these two programs kind of maintain where they're at now and aren't winning one or two games a season, all right? So let's say Brett and Walters, let's say they both maintain where both teams is kind of scraping for bowl games, or not even maybe scraping, but getting into bowl games every season and doing some damage. I feel like the Purdue-Illinois game should be sold out every year.
Absolutely.
And you could almost get it like the Missouri-Illinois basketball game in St. Louis, where you could – now, listen, I mean, obviously I'd love to sell Memorial Stadium out and not welcome a bunch of Boilermakers into town, but we don't do that, right? And maybe everybody will prove me wrong in the next few years when hopefully Brett Bielema's winning 8 games a year and all of a sudden we're drawing 60,000, and that answers that question. But – let's say there's 45,000 Illinois fans. I feel like you should be able to gather another 15,000 Purdue fans just to come over from West Lafayette and really make this into a special football rivalry. Now, we know it's hard to get tickets at Mackey Arena. It's hard to get tickets at State Farm Center. So as much as we love going to the Illinois-Purdue basketball game, sometimes you just can't. mm-hmm. you can't find a ticket to go, you don't really have that excuse in football.
No.
Like, if you're an Illinois fan this year and you want to go to West Lafayette to watch a game, and now all of a sudden it's why can't I think of what their football stadium? Ross-Aid.
Right.
So if you want to go over there, it's literally an hour and a half or less, and the tickets aren't that expensive. And it would be a perfect trip if you've got a child or something that's a big Illinois fan and they've never been to an away game, let's say. It's so easy. I mean, just do it. Just wake up in the morning and go. That's what Andrew and I did a couple of years ago when it turned out to be a tsunami of water. Remember it rained?
I remember that.
That was like 4 years ago. It rained so hard. We literally just sat and rained the entire time. But Illinois won. And
Illinois won,
work.
And then they did the slip and slide on the field after the game.
Andrew and I were about ready to jump over the jump out of the seats and go do it with him. And I thought, I'm already wet enough. I don't need that. But it's just such a simple thing that I feel like you could. I don't know why I've never thought of that. But Illinois fans, like in Lafayette this year, should make it a point that 15,000 of us should trek over there and make this into a little bit of not home field, but certainly kind of like the Illinois Missouri in St. Louis. Now, I know that's 50-50 for the most part. Most seasons, that's right down the middle, 50-50, and that's why it's such a great environment. You'll never get that unless one team's so bad and the other's not. But don't you agree? I think that's a great idea. This Purdue-Illinois football game should sell out every year.
I totally agree with you. And I think more so on the Illinois side for sure, because to be honest with you, I have seen that Purdue stadium get sold out here recently.
Sure, sure.
There's been some cool environments there and across the Big Ten here, and I completely get it. Brett Bielema's got to prove that he can win and that he can put a product on the field that's going to draw 60,000 to Memorial Stadium, but he's on that track to do it, and now you've got the conference expanding, you have these rivalries that are protected, and I think Purdue's a program that you can kind of look at here over the next 5-10 years and be right on the same plane with, and those are going to be some really competitive games almost every single year. I don't see why they wouldn't be. So I'm with you on that. But, yeah, I think, to me, it all starts with getting this place here at Memorial Stadium back to being sold out on a weekly basis. I think that's the next step here that would really be a turning point here for getting this program back to really being respected nationally.
And I know they're getting there. I mean, they're not getting there, but they've made
a stride.
Built,
last year absolutely was a step in the right direction.
There's no doubt. There's a lot more season tickets that have been sold. I know parking isn't as easy to come by, and that's just an indicator of that. So, yeah, I think that'd be really cool if we can make that happen. And, of course, I think Illinois fans will step. I mean, we understand how crazy – Illinois fans are when it comes. They love their sports, right? And especially the basketball side. But I think you saw last year with how many people attended the bowl game in Florida. You noticed how the attendance just kept going up as Illinois kept winning. And I think that's going to be the same this season. And maybe it all comes down to Luke Altmaier. That's the thing, right? All right, it does, I think, a lot of it come down to the Kansas game. When we come back, I'm going to have Kyle do some research here, because that's what he does best, and explain a little bit of what Kansas has coming back from a team that kind of got onto the map last year with Lance Leipold. Of course, we all know that name, right? That was the name that Illinois was like, would he be a guy you could hire? So we'll kind of break down that Kansas game a little bit. And of course, we're getting closer to breaking down a schedule in general, but you said you'd go to the Purdue game. It would still be Iowa for me this year, but we'll see. I mean, that could be the answer every year, so that's not really out of the box.
I'd love to go to a game at Kinnick.
Oh, it's incredible. It truly is. You've got to do it sometime. You definitely have to do that. All right, we are back. Talk some more. Kind of break down a little bit of that Illinois-Kansas game. Everybody wants that on July 5th. It is The Drive.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley. Ashley's Stars and Stripes sale is happening now. Don't miss out on instant savings with our Buy More, Save More event happening in store. And as a special thank you to our community heroes, all veterans and active military will receive 10% off their purchase. Plus, we offer special financing options for every budget. These 4th of July furniture and mattress deals are only available for a limited time. Visit your local Ashley store to shop and save today. Only at Ashley.
Imagine you're in the south of France in October when the temperature will be 70. Hi, it's Stevie J, and it's time to travel. Join Larry and Elena Canfer for their Off the Beaten Path to the South of France and Italy, September 29th through October 9th. The south of France is noted for its Mediterranean lifestyle and unique artists like Van Gogh, Picasso, and Chagall. They'll go off the beaten path to explore picturesque villages and seaside towns. You'll enjoy delicious meals with the greatest olive oil and wine. Then you'll go east to Milan, the Italian city of design and fashion and Ferraris. Again, the trip leaves from Champagne September 29th and goes through October 9th, non-stop flights both ways. It's the south of France and Milan, Italy, with Larry and Elena Canfer. For complete details and to sign up, go to steviejtravel.com. That's steviejtravel.com. Stevie J Travel. Where do you want to go?
Frankie at the gym says, "Do you even lift, bro?" Frankie at the Champaign County Humane Society doesn't care how much you lift. He just wants to lay on the couch with you and watch reruns of The Office. Carol in accounting will probably judge you for heating up your leftovers in the office microwave and stinking up the entire break room. Carol at the Champaign County Humane Society doesn't care what you eat, just as long as you scratch that one spot right under her chin. Carol the cat and Frankie the dog are just a few of the adoptable pets looking for their forever homes at the Champaign County Humane Society. They won't judge you for the food you eat or your workout routine. They just want to shower you with all the love they have to give. As the only open admission animal shelter in our area, the Champaign County Humane Society takes in any animal despite their age or medical condition. Learn more about adopting a pet, volunteering your time, and donating to the cause at cuhumane.org. The Champaign County Humane Society, where your new best friend is waiting.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw, right here in Champaign-Urbana, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Kurt and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. It's easy to switch and save. Just give them a call when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Georgetown Fair is the place to be in 2023 on new dates, July 8th through the 15th, with country days, grandstand nights, carnival lights, and live entertainment. There is something for all ages. Don't miss 4-H exhibits, livestock shows, carnival specials, amazing fair food, and so much more. The grandstand lineup is packed full with demo derby, tractor pulls, buckets and boards comedy percussion show, rodeo, and grand finale Saturday, July 15th with Rodney Atkins live in concert with Drew Baldridge. Tickets on sale now. Get full event details at Georgetown.
Looking for a fun, family-friendly event in support of a great cause? Join us at the Habitat Restore on Saturday, July 22nd from 9 a.m. to 12 for the Bike to Build Bike Rodeo, sponsored by Tenet Wealth Partners and Habitat's Women Build Program. Learn bike skills, decorate your bike, learn about bike maintenance, enjoy an Icy from Ice Daddy, and more, all while enjoying music from DJ Silky. And while you're there, don't forget to shop the Restore. This event is fun for the whole family and supports Habitat's local home building program. For more information about the Bike to Build Rodeo, please visit CUHabitat.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive would say, and Piper, no Piper today. Kyle Tosk back from vacation. Good to have him back. So everybody enjoyed the vacation. Your brother loved it. You guys went some kayaking and such?
Yeah, we did.
Sweet.
Kayaking, boating, golfing.
Was it like rough waters? Did you do any kind of rafting or anything like that?
No, it was, the waters were calm. It was cold. Like, it was not even swimmable. It was so cold. They had to give us like a briefing before we got on. Like, if you fall in, it's bad news because you have a chance to go into like shock from the cold water.
All right. Any other questions? Here we go.
But no, it was gorgeous there. That's, and the weather awesome. Was great.
Did you catch any pike?
No.
Is the water level up? I know, like around Las Vegas, like Lake Mead and such, They were finding like dead bodies in like garbage. The old garbage things, you know, because like the water had receded so much. But I know that was an issue for a while. But
yeah, I didn't really notice it. It might have been, but yeah.
Man, that's beautiful though to get out. Yeah, there's a lot of places around here that you can kayak. You know, over in Oakwood, I think it's got a spot over Turkey Run. I mean, there's a lot of areas around here you can go out and kayak, and that's kind of a fun summer day activity when it's really hot. Because like you said, the water, even as hot as it is, sometimes the water's cold.
Right.
And it's like, all right, well, if you're that hot, dip in, you know. And normally around here, you're about 3 foot of water, so it's not anything too crazy. All right, so Kansas, you read one line on Kansas, and it scared us.
Yeah, so I didn't really realize any of this till now because I haven't dug into Kansas, but they are bringing a ton back from that team last year. In fact, they are bringing back, according to this Athlon Sports article, more offensive production than any team in all of college football next year as they bring back 10 starters out of 11, including their starting quarterback, Jalen Daniels, who had such a great year for them last year, throwing for 2,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, and four interceptions in just really seven games because he got hurt midway through the year and then came back for the Liberty Bowl where he threw six touchdowns.
Oh, my goodness.
Against Arkansas.
But
so,
that's not Jaden Daniels that was not at Arizona State.
He was
right
at Arizona State. Jalen Daniels is Kansas's quarterback who is back with a ton of weapons back from last year. A 1,000-yard rusher in Neil is his name, it looks like.
My dad's name.
Yeah.
Neil. It scares you, too, when you think about Illinois and what they lost on offense with Chase Brown, a guy that was unbelievable. We know that. Obviously, Tommy DeVito. You lose tight end.
Devin Neal is the running back.
Devin. Okay. So anything on their defense?
Their defense, it looks like they lost a bit more defensively. It says they lost their entire defensive line.
Okay.
They bring back some guys from the secondary, but they didn't have a particularly good one. They gave up. They ranked 124th nationally in passing yards per game allowed, and they gave up 36 points a game. So that's what really kind of bit them there in the second half. They got off to that big, hot start where they went 5-0 in their first five games, got that college game day game against TCU.
Yes.
And then they really tailed off there, and a lot of it was because they couldn't stop anybody.
Okay.
And now they lose some of those guys defensively. So it's definitely going to be a test for Illinois defensively. Obviously, Illinois got the guys up front that can put pressure on Jalen Daniels.
Run at us all day. I want to see that. But
he is a he's a dual threat guy. He's a guy that's not afraid to use his legs. But really, it's going to be the secondary. That young secondary is going to get their first big test of the year against this Kansas offense, who was really explosive with Daniels in there last year. But also a good opportunity for Luke Altmaier and this offense to get going against a team that was not good defensively, and it could be a shootout.
And Kansas is game three.
Game two.
Game two, that's right. It's game two. I played a song, but it didn't go long enough, so I'll play another one. Yeah, that's game. You start with Toledo, then Kansas on a Friday, then Penn State. You get an extra day to prepare for the big noon kickoff on Fox. And then, of course, Florida Atlantic to finish off the non-con. All right, Pipes is not down at the Peach Jam just yet, so we're not going to visit with him. Probably tomorrow we'll talk to him and Tyler Underwood. We're back, though, with more. It is The Drive.
Experience food, drinks, and fun at the grand reopening of Champaign's favorite sports bar, Pia's. Whether you're up for their famous Slugger Burger, never-ending nachos, having a drink with your friends, or watching your favorite sports team, Pia's has you covered. After the forced renovation undergone on the local pub, it's the perfect time to celebrate a return to normal and bring the community together. Don't miss the grand reopening at Pia's, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign, Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.